Never too late for a miracle. It's just never too late for a miracle. It's never too late for a miracle. Thank you, Father, for revival in our lives, around us, in church. Hallelujah. You know, last week I talked about Jesus is in 1 Thessalonians, and the three things I wanted to refresh our memory on was that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for us. He's coming back for you and me. Why? Because we are full of his glory. Everyone say that. I am full of his glory. So when we live our lives out, we need to be full of his glory. Hallelujah. And I talked a little bit about the work of faith, because faith takes work. You don't sit around, do nothing, and expect your faith to bring something on. It takes work. It takes prophecy. It takes everything it takes. I've preached on that many times before, the work of faith. And then also that God will test our hearts. How does he test our hearts? He doesn't test our hearts with something bad. He tests our hearts with something good. He gives us a vision or a dream. Gives us something that he wants us to do. That's the test. The test isn't sickness and disease. The test is, here, this is what I want you to do. That's the test. And you know, when we hear God's voice is point A, and when his will comes true is point B, and everywhere in between has to be walked out in faith. Don't give up the faith wherever you're at on that line. Here's his promise. Here's the fulfillment of the promise. When you get to the fulfillment of the promise, you don't need faith for the promise anymore. You already got it. So you got fresh faith for something else. And there's all sorts of things, promises and stuff that we have in that midst of that faith walk, right? That's the way it is. I love that. So we want to keep our faith going. And so anyway, 2 Thessalonians, short epistle. It's got three chapters in it. And the primary thing that it starts with here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, is we are bound to thank God always for you, my brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows. Everyone say faith grows. Yeah. How does faith grow? It grows by making it work. It grows by believing for it. And that it would grow exceedingly. That should be on our heart, is to grow our faith in God exceedingly abundantly. And the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God and for your patience. Everyone say patience. Yeah, Hebrews 6:12 says, those who through faith and, let me start that one again. I didn't get a very good response there. Hebrews 6:12, those through who faith and patience will inherit the promises. If you don't have patience, you got a problem. If you don't have faith, you got a problem. You got to have faith and patience to inherit the promises. Okay, and that's why we're here. That's why we want to encourage you to always have that patience and faith in all your persecutions, tribulations that you will endure. So, it's kind of like a trifecta. Faith and love and patience. I don't bet. I don't do the things that everybody's doing for the Final Four and the basketball, that stuff, you know. But I check with a few people and just saying, well, how's that bracket working out for you? And most people lost on the first game. But we've got a trifecta that is always perfect. And you don't have to bet on it. You just have to believe for it, right? Faith, love, and patience. There you go. That's our trifecta. So, second thing about 2 Thessalonians that I want to share is in chapter 1, verse 3, it says that your faith would grow a little bit. That your faith would grow a little bit. A little bit. Exceedingly. Okay, so there's three things about faith I've preached on for years that I learned years ago. Three things about faith. Faith comes, faith grows, and faith speaks. Say that with me. Faith comes, faith grows, and faith speaks. How does faith come? Romans 10:17 says faith comes by having heard. No, faith comes by hearing in the present and hearing by the word of God. It's always on. The switch is always on. Everyone say the switch is on. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, by the spoken word, by the rhema word, by the word I speak, by the word. When you're reading the Bible, you hear it when you read. When we read, we listen to ourselves read. Understand that? We hear ourselves read. That's why faith comes by hearing. When we read the word, we hear it. Okay, Larry, I'm doing one chapter a day, and in 4 years, I'm going to read through the Bible. I do that. I just want you to know you've inspired me, and I'm doing something. I had to give up the newspaper, but that's okay. All right. Faith comes. Faith grows. 2 Thessalonians 1. Faith will grow exceedingly if we continue to believe and trust as we hear the Word of God. And we hear these stories. That's why I love the stories. I love the revival stories. It's encouraging. It tells us, yes, God's at work. Hallelujah. And then faith speaks. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I believe, therefore I speak. What comes out your mouth better equal what you're believing for. Or maybe it's telling you where there might be a little lack. You know what? That's okay. It's as we ignore it is the bad deal. If you're speaking something and you go, I don't think that was faith. Good. Conviction's good because it gets us on the right track. And I have an amen to that one. All right. Going forward or backward, we're never neutral. Hallelujah. Hearing by the word of God. And you know, your hearing, everyone say hearing. Your sight, say sight. And your mouth, say mouth. Are the three gateways to your heart. Three gateways to your heart. That's why we have to listen to the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and having hearing by the word of God. In Proverbs, I don't have this on my outline for you, Larry, but it's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Powerful verse. Powerful verse. It says, guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? By what you see, by what you hear, and by what you speak. That's how you guard your heart. It's worth coming to church today just for that. Those are the three gateways to your heart, your mouth, your eyes, your ears. Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. In the Old King James, it will say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Yeah. So we need to work really, really consciously about guarding the gateways to our heart, our eyes and our ears, and what we say out our mouth. Okay? Amen. That's why we need to prophesy what God is saying to us. All right? And then a little more serious aspect in terms of eschatology, if I can say that. Everyone say eschatology. A cool word, right? These are the things that are going to happen before Jesus returns. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read this in the message. I really like this. It's much easier to understand. He says, friends. I love that. Paul considered all of his disciples his friends. Amen? I believe Paul thinks of us as his dear friends. How about that? Now, dear friends, read these words carefully. Slow down. Don't go jumping to conclusions regarding the day when Jesus is going to come back and we're going to assemble to welcome him. Ooh, won't that be fun? Excellent. Don't let anyone shake you up or get you excited over some breathless report or rumored letter from me that the day of the Master's arrival has come and gone. Don't fall for any line like that. Before that day comes, a couple of things have to happen. Everyone say a couple. First, apostasy. Say that word. Apostasy. Second, the debut of the Antichrist. Say the Antichrist. I love this phrase. Look at this. The Antichrist is a partner in crime with Satan. I thought that was a great definition of the devil, of the Antichrist. Yeah. And he'll defy and then take over every so-called god or altar. Having cleared away the opposition, he'll set himself up in God's temple as God Almighty. Don't you remember me going over all this in detail when I was with you? Are your memories that short? Yeah. Okay, so let's look at this just for a few minutes, all right? Let's define apostasy and let's define the revealing of the Antichrist. Let's look at that. All right, apostasy is to desert or depart. Walking away from something, okay? And in the scriptures, it tells us that apostasy is walking away from the Scriptures. The spirit of apostasy, come on, I want everybody to look at me right now, has walked itself into our public schools. The spirit of apostasy will walk in anywhere where God is torn down. And they took down the Ten Commandments that are sitting on our wall right over there. When Pastor Rodney Lynch says, you don't even have the Ten Commandments up on your wall. And I go, you're right, buddy. That spirit of apostasy will walk in anywhere where that void is. And we see it happening. And we see it happening in the church. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I believe John Wesley would roll over in his grave. So to speak, that's not possible. But you can imagine. You know, when he was alive, and somebody got sick, they didn't call the doctor, they called John Wesley. Movement of the Methodist Church. They called Wesley. Why? Because he laid hands on them and got healed. I'm not against doctors, I'm thankful. That just how far it's come. Okay, so that's apostasy. Removing from the truths of Scriptures. And it's so happening right in front of us. Right in our own neighborhoods. Okay, second thing about the second coming, about the revealing of the Antichrist. We got about six things here. And you can just kind of mull on it a little bit. The Antichrist will deceive people about Jesus. They will say that Jesus is not God. They will see Jesus is not the Savior. Jesus is not the way. They will say there's many ways to heaven. No, there's not many ways to heaven. There's one. Thank you. It's the way. John 10:10. All right? False signs and wonders. So, how do you discern about signs and wonders? Well, do they glorify God? Do they glorify Jesus? Or do they glorify man? Big difference. Fully supporting moral decay contrary to the Bible? Yeah. Yeah. And claim to be God himself. The Antichrist will claim to be God. And he will persecute the church. And then there'll be some famines and earthquakes and disasters and troubles and persecutions and wars and rumors of wars. Okay? That's the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of apostasy. So, what are we to do? Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Everyone say, what do we do, Pastor? Number four is pray for revival. That's what we do. That's not hard. And you know what? The church can argue over healing, but a healing will settle the argument. The church can argue over how you get saved, but when you get saved, the argument's over. They can argue over the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, shout out a kiata about it, and you speak in other languages, that settles the deal. Hallelujah. I did give an interpretation of that, but it's probably pretty good. All right, so let's look at this prayer for revival. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is the third chapter of 3. And Paul said, one more thing, my friends. I love that. He thinks of us as his friends. Pray for us. Pray for the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you. The college campuses. Joe gets up here. And thank you, Joe, for always keeping us up on those revival areas. I'm so thankful for that. I always don't hear him, but I'm thankful for the college campuses. We're sweeping revivals of thousands and thousands of students. You know, I was just talking to, I have a group of people that I try to talk to on a regular basis. Some are hot and on fire for God, and some ain't quite so hot. And I talked to one of them the other day, and he was all proud about his son being in a fraternity at the university and the things that they were doing. And I went, oh my God, help me God, help me say the right thing. And they're a recovering alcoholic besides. And they're putting their stamp of approval on this. What happened? What happened to your faith? Yeah. Somebody forgot to mention about God, right? So, We pray that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you. What's a groundswell of response? That's the revival. That's a group of people staying up all night long and praying, or days and weeks and months and all that, right? Okay? And pray that we'll be rescued from these troublemakers who are trying to do us in. I'm finding that not all believers are believers, but the Master never lets us down, and he'll stick by us and protect us from evil. We don't have to fear evil. Say that. I don't fear evil. Yeah, yeah. I fear nothing. I have an awesome fear of God, but I do not fear evil. And so that needs to be our prayer on a regular basis. Lord, bring revival. Bring revival to the town, the community, the school systems, the political systems, all the systems that are there and in place. Bring revival. Bring people in to run those things that trust God and believe God. You know, I'm thankful that Strongsburg has had a mayor that's a Christian. I'm thankful for that. Does everything go right with those kind of entities? No. Will you always agree with them all the time? No. But at least they pray. I'm thankful for that. You know, public place. Pastors come in and help them pray. So I'm thankful for that. So I want to say one more thing. One more thing. Everyone say one more thing. It's never too late for a miracle. It's never too late for a miracle. Whatever you're believing God for. I know everybody in here is believing God for something. It's never too late for a miracle. Let's stand. Number one, God, we bound our hearts together and we pray for continued revival. The difference. We pray that you would continue the revival on the planet. Lord, help us to pray, to fast and pray, to give fast and pray for those revivals. Father, we thank you for our missionaries that go out and do the work of that ministry outside as parachurch ministries, Lord. We bless every one of them. And Father, the ministries that are involved that we don't always know about, just that day-to-day ministry. You're all in ministry. Say, I'm in ministry. Every day, we're in ministry. Every day. It might be the person at the gas station. It might be a person at work. It might be some family member we run into. It doesn't matter. We're all in the ministry to minister the Spirit of God to a lost and a dying world and to encourage the body of Christ to be strong in you. For that, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory.